Hallelujah. I am very excited and very expectant. Throughout this week, the mission statement of our church is building your world by His word. And this is the week. This is the 1 week where we actually take time out to live this mission statement. Amen. Praise the Lord. But first, we want to just say a word of prayers to our brother and friend, Dr. Robert, who couldn't be here because of the hurricane in Atlanta going on. I mean, you know what's going on over all the world. I want to just spend a minute in prayers this morning, asking God to bless that nation, not just the state, to bless that nation. We want to command every contrary wind to cease in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak peace and wisdom to the government and the governors of the states and also Florida in particular. We use our brother, Dr. Robert Lardin, as a point of contact to every single church, every single believer, and the work of God taking place in that nation. We pray that the hand of God will be upon him, upon his family, and upon his ministry in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and the family say,
amen.
And the family say,
amen.
For those of you who don't know, Dr. Robert started a church in, I think it's in Florida or in Orlando. It's in Florida. And so he's been looking forward to coming to share the stories of a new church plant with us. He'd be so excited, but he went to the airport, but that flight just couldn't take off. And so while at the airport, I think they got the news that they need to all return back home and pack out of their homes immediately. And so he couldn't be here this week. But we are still making plans. If they are believing God, if there's any change in situation, he will be on the first flight out of that beautiful sunny state, and he will be with us here. Amen. The Bible week has always, let me just set the agenda for this week. It's going to be the week of weeks for us.
Amen.
And I'm believing God that we have tagged this theme of this Bible week, creating a new experience. Creating a new experience. And it is these next 5 days, from today, 6 days. So we have session one, session two, and we're going to be building on this like we normally do throughout the week. And I want you to prepare your heart for a change. The word of God is going to come to you. It's going to come to you expressly. It's going to be a different kind of service because we're going to teach the word of God. We're going to teach the word of God. Because the scripture says, if the foundation be faulty, say, what can the righteous do? If you don't know, you don't know. If you don't know how to work it, it doesn't work. Does that make sense? But the fact that you don't know how to work it does not mean that it doesn't work. Amen? The fact that you don't know how to work it does not mean that it does not work. And so this week, we are going to be digging into the Word of God. So what is my expectation of you? Number one, I expect you to learn as much as you can. Number two, I want you to call a personal fast on yourself. That as the Word of God is being taught and being released in your direction, that God will speak to you through that word. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Number three, I want to take as much notes as possible. You see, as good as our Sunday services are, every Sunday, it is very difficult to teach a subject to conclusion. Very, very difficult. Extremely difficult. And so can you imagine you spend the whole week preparing for a 45-minute talk? You can barely scratch the surface. But on a Bible week, we settle down. So it's our camping week. Praise the Lord. It's our school of the Spirit. It is the week you set yourself aside. It's our detox week. It's our preparation week. It's our foundation week. Does that make sense? You see, because you can only follow God based on what you know. If what you know is not adequate, it doesn't change God. You can only follow God based on what you know. If what you know is not adequate, it doesn't change God. And so that's why you find that our experiences as Christians varies and differs from one person to another. And so, but this week, we have a unique opportunity to unify every one of us. This week, we have a unique opportunity to sit under one roof and take one subject matter through and dive into it. And the objective is that at the end of this week, you should be armed with scriptures. You should have tools to bring the desires of God to pass in your life. You see, that man said somebody said, I'm not a theologian. He said, one thing I know, once I was blind, now I can see. So it means that as we follow scriptures, our results are very individual. He said, I don't know what you are looking for. So, but one thing I know, I was blind before. And I was handicapped. I was limited before. And so, but one thing I know now, I don't know, who is he that healed you? So they can attack Jesus. Who is he that healed you? Tell us. He said, well, I'm not into these shenanigans here. But my experience is personal. So my prayer for you this week is that you will have a personal experience in the mighty name of Jesus. You will have a personal experience, a personal encounter, and a personal tool. A personal tool. So the tools of scriptures are very personal. You see, when David was confronting Goliath, they gave him the tool of Saul. They tried to arm him with Saul's tool. He said, listen, I can't go out and fight my Goliath like this. He said, because I have not proven it. That's what he said in scriptures. That means I have not tested it. He said, but give me something that I am acquainted with. Give me something that I know, that I have tested. Give me something that I can use, that my skills, that's appropriate and commensurate to my experience. And so I said, what is it? He said, give me a sling. Give me a sling. What does that mean? God can speak to me in one verse, and that same verse will mean something totally different to you. Does that make sense? So I'm believing God for personal revelation as we open the seal this week. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so tomorrow we will continue. Wednesday we will continue. Thursday we will continue. Friday. So this will be your evening school. Evening school of the Spirit. And I don't know whether I do evening school in England. Where I come from. After your lectures in the evening, you go to school again. Yeah, you go to evening school. They do evening schools yet. I mean, if anybody went to evening school, not Open University, I mean evening school. Who did evening school here? You did evening school? Here in England. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Amen. So this is your evening school. We will come in, it will be very swift. We'll come in, and then you take your notes. But one thing is always sure. It doesn't matter what I say. Some won't do. But it doesn't start with me. Even in the time of Jesus, does that make sense? It doesn't matter what you will say. Some will not do. But don't be among those who won't do. Don't be among those who will not invest in their spiritual development. Does that make sense? So you are where you are because of what you know. You are where you are today because of what you know. Now, this whole week is programmed to add to you. Does that make sense? So is anybody here who likes stagnation? None of us. So it means that there's something in this week that can add to you. Or there's something in this week that you can use to build someone else. Amen? Praise the Lord. Come on, say, Lord, give me revelation. Give me a new experience. Give me a new experience. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Creating a new experience, part one. Let's look at something about Jesus. I like studying Jesus. I say, well, read after a man, read after this person, read after... Many people have heroes. But my hero is Jesus. I love studying the works of Jesus. I love reading about Jesus. I love looking at the way he approached issues. And I love looking at the way Jesus solved issues. I love the fact that he came into this world and in 3.5 years, he was able to deliver on his assignment in life. I want to deliver on my assignment in life. Praise the Lord. And so one thing you will know about Jesus constantly had new experiences. Jesus, I want you to be very dissatisfied with where you are now. I want you to be very dissatisfied with where you are now. Dissatisfaction is very important for progress. Jesus constantly had new experiences. And then we'll look at the first experience in Luke chapter 3. The Bible says in Luke chapter 3 that he was baptized in the Jordan. And then while in that Jordan, the Bible says that the heaven opened. And then he heard the voice saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 3. Then Luke chapter 4, look at the progression again. The Bible says that Jesus, in from verse 4, it says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, then was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days by the devil. Now in those days he ate nothing, but afterward, that's after the fast, when he had ended, he was hungry." Now look at verse 14. It says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all surrounding region. First, he was baptized. Then second, the Bible says he waited on the Lord. He waited on the Lord, fasted for 40 days, and then he returned in verse 14 with full of what? Power. Is that progress or not? Is that a new beginning or not? So that's a new experience. But Jesus did not stop there. So there's Jordan, then there's the fast. Then in chapter 9, again, we read in chapter 9 about his transfiguration. Chapter 34, verse 34 says, "While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved son. Hear him.' Then when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen." Verse 37 says, "Now it happened on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, there was a multitude waiting to meet him." So new experiences is a reality. We saw it in scriptures. I pray that God will give you a new experience in Jesus' mighty name. But you must be hungry. So this Bible week, I am praying for a new level of empowerment for you. He was starting out. I want to make this day the day you are starting out. And the Bible says that at baptism, a voice came and empowered him. Many will just stop there. Like many have stopped with speaking in tongues. Many have stopped with the one fast a week if they make it. Many have stopped with reading one verse a day. The same one verse a day they've been reading from the day they got born again, they've stopped there. Many have stopped with praying that 5 minutes prayer a day. So the Jordan experience is not enough. The salvation experience is not enough. The things you have done for the past 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, your spiritual routine, the same spiritual routine that you have done for years, is not enough. You need to desire a new experience. You need to desire a new experience in God. And so, to create a new experience, what do we need? We saw it in Jesus. First, baptism. Second, what was the second thing? What? Fasting. And the third, transfiguration. Everyone a new experience. Every single problem that Jesus encountered to solve in scripture, he never used the same approach twice. Never. 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 So it tells you and I how we ought to live our Christian life. Number one, we should not be spiritually stagnant like many of us are. We should not be spiritually stagnant. We should not be stuck with the same old routine, the same way of doing the same thing, to the point that there is no more virtue in our spiritual life and spiritual existence. Does that make sense? Our spiritual life is no longer vibrant and exciting because it's same on and same old and same office, same office, same office. There's a way you will read your Bible the first time, reading the second, after some time, there's no more motivation to read it. Why? Because there is no new experience. Jesus had new experience. And so, but we need the power of God for new experience. We need the power of God for new experiences. We need the power of God for new experiences. And so the same power, so he came down in the power. So the power of God was what was responsible for the new experiences he had. And I want to introduce you to the scriptures this morning as to how best to get that same power available to Jesus. Amen. So, but first, what is this power? What is this power of God we're talking about? The power of God is the ability to perform. Write that down. The power of God is the what? Ability to perform. The power of God is the ability to do. The power of God is the ability to do. Ability to do. Ability to do. Ability to do. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Praise the Lord. I pray you will have the ability to do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Ability to do. No more stagnation.
Amen.
No more stagnation.
Amen.
No more stagnation. Amen. For so many people, there's no life in their Christianity. Many don't have an understanding, no more understanding. So we go back to the beginning. In the beginning of creation, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to lay some foundations today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. And if you read on the Bible, it says that God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God calls the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the heavens. Then God made the firmament, and they divided the waters which was under the firmament and the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Come on, say it was so. Aha. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the heavens he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was good. It came out of what God said. Everything God said, it came out. Everything God said, God saw. Everything God said, God saw. It then tells me something, that there's power in what God says. And that's why God gave us this mission many 14 years ago. It says, teach our people to develop their lives through the word of God. Everything God said, God saw. Everything God said, God saw. God's power is in God's word. God's power is in what? God's word. What the Holy Spirit does is that he empowers us to connect with what God says. You see that, and that's one of the things that makes salvation so simple, and yet it comes across so silly. It is so too simple to receive. Everything God said, God does. There's something, everything God said, God saw. It's very interesting that today it's so simple that we never apply our faith to it. We never seek to understand and to see what God says. God's power is in God's word. God's power is in God's word. I bet you today, if you tell some people to go jump from one building to the other and they will see God, they will find it easier to jump from one building to the other to see God than to believe what God says. God's power is in what?
God's
word. So the word of God is the source of God's power. The word of God is the source of power. The word of God is what? Is the source of power. The word of God doesn't change, because God does not change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God does not change. And so until you and I discover God's word, we cannot have a new experience. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us, to link us, to give us access into what God says, the interpretation of what God says. Until we discover that, we will not have a new experience. Praise the Lord. The Bible says here, it says, and now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The waters here is the word of God. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Clean her by the washing of the water by the word. Please hear me, brothers and sisters. The word of God is powerful. Now, the word of God we are talking about is not the word of God that you just read. No. The word of God that the Holy Spirit gives you access to. The word of God, and so we're not talking about the intellectual knowledge of the word of God. I had A1 in Bible knowledge in my GCSE. A1, I wasn't born again. I had A1, I wasn't born again. I sat down and memorized nonsense out of the syllabus. If I will shut my eyes and I can tell you the history of the kings, and I can tell you the history of the creation from Genesis, I can take you on to, and I was not born again. I was not born again. I will sit there and have theological arguments with people who are Christians, right? And I will still floor them because I had read the book, but I had no spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? How many of you want power here? The power is, what are you believing God for? The power is in the word of God. The power in your life is in the access to the word of God, which is in scriptures. Praise the Lord. John 16, verse 12. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. What is truth? He says, sanctify them by the truth, because your word is truth. What is truth? What is truth? Your experience? What is truth? What is presented to you? What is truth? Your feelings? No, church. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Because what God says about your matter is truth. But it's not what you just read, because anybody can read anything. But it's what the Holy Spirit reveals to you through scriptures concerning your situation is what is true and is what is the source of your power. Do you understand, church? It's what the Holy Spirit reveals to you through scriptures. What the Holy Spirit reveals to you through scriptures is what becomes the source of your power. God has embedded his power in his word. Praise the Lord. God has embedded his power in his word. The Holy Spirit gives us access to the word of God. Today we find that we struggle to read the Bible. We struggle to pray. We struggle to understand, because one key is missing. And that missing key is the fact that we do not understand the power of God's word. And the power of God's word is not what you have read. The power of God's word is what the Holy Spirit has revealed to you concerning your situation in scriptures. Everything God said, he saw, because there was still power. He said there is still power in what he says today. There is still power in what God says today. There's still power in what God says today. What has God spoken to you? And so you find that this book, the book you have in your hands, is not a storybook. The book in your hands is not a literature book. The book in your hand is not something that, is not something like, you say, well, let's put the kids to bed and let us share, let's read a bedtime story to you. No. And many of us have come from that kind of background where we've been taught the scriptures from history, from young age. It's been read to us, but we don't understand the power of God in it, because we have not exposed ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord. So we cannot genuinely access the scriptures unless the Holy Spirit rests upon us. Can I hear me this morning?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so where do we start from? Where do we start from? We start from the place of prayers. Where do we start from? We start from the place of prayers. We start from the place of acknowledgement. What has God said in his word? We start from a place of belief. We start from a place of belief. Many years ago, one of our sons here, I came back from the States, and it was Mr. Bosso and JP's marriage. When I came back, she traveled to Africa and got stuck in Africa. Just hear this. And then the question was, should we postpone the wedding or should we go ahead with the wedding? So I told them, I said, well, let me just give me time to pray. Now, what kind of prayer was I going to pray? Oh, Lord, let her come now. Oh, Lord, do something. So what kind of prayer was I going to pray about that kind of situation? So I came back from the States, and I was jet-lagged. So it was in the afternoon. And then while I was dozing off, I saw a vision of myself. And I was reading Psalm 37 or Psalm 35. And I was reciting that scripture. And I was reciting that scripture in my sleep. So I jumped up. I picked up the phone. And I called him. I said, that wedding is happening. The wedding is happening. The wedding is happening. So it wasn't just a prayer I prayed. It was the revelation of that particular scripture that enabled me to make the decision I made. Does that make sense? The mistake most of us make at times is that if you don't have a job or you are believing God for a change, you can sit and say, oh, Lord, change me. Oh, Lord, make this happen. But that is not the prayer God answers. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, make this happen. No. Oh, Lord, deliver me. That is not the prayer God answers. The prayer God answers is a prayer that is backed and based on the revelation of the scripture. Does that make sense? He will give him he will give his angels charge over me. He didn't say, oh Lord, tell this devil to leave me alone. And so I want to charge us this week to spend time. Where do you start from? First of all, the Bible is free. Well, depends, right? Get as much scriptures relating to whatever you are believing God for. Get as much scriptures relating to what you are believing God for. God will answer his scriptures. Everything God said, God saw. So that means that there's power in what God says. Everything God said, God saw. So there is power in what God says. There is no power in what you think. And there is no power in your desire. Does that make sense, church? There is no power in what you think. There is no power in your desire. Where the power is what God says. If God said it, and the Holy Spirit gives you access to what God says. Now, what does that mean? That means that the fact that God says it does not mean that it is yours. Does that make sense? Why? It means that what is yours is the personal revelation of that scripture to you is what God honors. I'm sure that's what I'm talking about. What God honors is not the verse that you read. No, what God honors is the revelation of that scripture to you. If I am believing God for a job, and Chief Kajuba is believing God for a job, and both of us pick a scripture and read that scripture and say, yes, I'm believing God, it doesn't mean that God will answer that scripture. What God will answer is the revelation of that scripture to me. Does that make sense? And that revelation may be different from his revelation. God, that is why the Bible says the Holy Spirit grants us access. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, no one knows the Spirit of the Lord, but because he has revealed it to us. So this is where the labor is. This is where the hard work is. The problem is that many of us, one, we don't even know enough scriptures. Two, we have not spent time meditating on enough scriptures for the Holy Spirit to access when we have a need. Do you understand? I want every member of this church to be a miracle worker. It is the pride, it is to the glory of God for the house of God to be on fire because they know how to make God work. Does that make sense? How many of you have caught that? So, we may need to go back and rework our foundation. We go back and rework our foundation. Before you pray, ask yourself, what am I praying about? Why should God answer these prayers? What am I praying about? Now, it may look so slow because there's something about man that wants to be so quick and fast. Quick and fast does not mean that you get results from God. What are you believing God for? Why should God answer this prayer? So prepare yourself for your journey. So what does that happen? That answer will force you to look into scriptures and say, well, God does not deny himself. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I read it here that this happened, and this is the result they got. I read it in this other place that this is what happened, and this is the result they got. So I now know that because God does not change, my case will not be different. Does that make sense? Then that, to you, is revelation. That is what God... Now, imagine you having that in every area of your life. Oh, Pastor, that's very, very tough. Well, that's Christianity for you. You either do the labor or you do guesswork. Once in a while, you hit it. You know, like my golf game, you score very well. The next day, you can't repeat the same course. The same course, the same hole, the same ball. You can't repeat the same thing. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Your life, your Christian life should not be like my golf game. Your Christian life should be predictable. But life can be predictable by revelation. Life is predictable by what? Revelation. Life is predictable by revelation. Life is predictable by revelation. Do you understand? It was 1997. We moved, 1999, we moved from London to a place called Gravesend. So, I remember that day, and you've heard my story several times, we had a challenge, and the challenge was, who will take care of this child? Who will take care of our children when my mother-in-law goes back home, goes back to Africa? So, I told Pastor Bassi, don't worry, God will make away. So we started praying about it. Well, we don't know what's going to happen. Well, the day was getting closer. A day before she traveled. You know, one day we called Pastor, but I said, and I was thinking about it, I said, look, what are we going to do? He said, we don't know. But I told her, I said, God gave us, we got a revelation before we came here. We did not just come here to buy a house because we needed a place to stay. No. God gave us a word. And that word came by revelation. And it was in obedience to that scripture. That's why we bought the house in this city. So I told her, I said, so Paul, when Saul was looking for, see my analysis now, right? So when Saul was looking for his father's donkey, he said something. He said, is there not a prophet in this town that can tell us the will of God? I said, we have access to the prophetic. I said, so that means that there's someone in this town that God has prepared to take off our children. Does that make sense? Now, that was the revelation of that scripture. And that was me applying the revelation of that scripture to my personal problem. Oh, God, send someone, send a childminder. That is not prayers. Oh God, send a childminder. Oh God, do you know somebody? No, do you know somebody? Oh God, send a child. That is not prayer. That is not prayer. Does that make sense? How does that register in heaven? They don't have childminders in heaven. So I said, he said, is there no one in this city? So there was a man in this city that would tell Saul what he's looking for. So that means that guesswork is not required for the believer. Guesswork is not required. So in fact, what I'm sharing with you now is actually a master key that can be applicable to anything in your life. So I said, why should we be guessing who will take care of these children? Why? Is there no man in this city? So there's always a man in a city. He said, is there no prophet in this city? And so in this instance, we carry the prophetic. So in that case, God can. It was the day to go. My mother-in-law took my kids to school. On her way back, she ran into Debbie. And they got talking. And then she said, I don't know what she told Debbie. But we got back home from work. And my mother-in-law said, oh, by the way, Debbie is coming to see you by 6 o'clock. I said, who is Debbie? She said, well, she's the lady who her daughter and her son go to the same school as your daughter and your son. And so she has volunteered to take care of the kids. Does that make sense? So 6 o'clock, she showed up. And the next day, she resumed. Now, watch this. Everything was okay. Until one day, we got back. Debbie said, I think it was a Friday or so. Debbie said, look, from next week, bring only your son. I don't want your daughter. I mean, I live in Gravesend. So Gravesend is not what it is now. Can you imagine? So he said, bring only your daughter. Bring only your son. But I said, but why? She said, your daughter made my daughter cry. So that means that from... I said, and you are telling me on Friday that you don't want my daughter to come to your home on Monday. I was so angry. Again, I remembered that scripture. And I told her, I said, both of them are not coming on Monday. My wife said, ah! I said, yes. Both of them, they are not... Nobody is going to hold me to ransom. Because there is someone in this city. Did I know the person? No. But God knows the person. God never changes. The revelation of Scripture is the access to the power of God. If you don't have what you apply, what you should call prayer, is the revelation of a scripture relative to your problem. Lord, you did it here. I can see it happened here. I see it happened here. I see this one happened here. Then it must happen to me as well. It must happen to me as well. So your prayer is that I want to experience this as I saw it in scripture. That's what God honors. That is proper prayer. So we got to church on Sunday, and then we told a sister in church, I said, look, by the way, we have a little bit of a challenge. I said, what is it? I said, our kids, nobody to look after them tomorrow. He said, oh, I know someone. She has a friend. She also knows someone who is looking for a place to stay. And that's how we got our first au-pair. We said, well, we have a place to stay. Would she mind staying with us and take care of the kids? She said, yes. That young girl came to our home. She was the one who taught our kids how to, the study life they have today. She taught them how to be, the work ethics they have today came from that young girl. She grounded them. She was like a governess. She taught them the discipline, the academic discipline my kids have today did not come from us. Can you imagine that? I know that we are lazy. But the academic discipline, the desire to study, and the discipline, the personal discipline for application came from that lady. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So, the answer to your question is this. The answer to your prayers, because we want to experience God. We want new experiences. We don't want to be stagnant. We want to experience God. We want the miracles in life. Yes, they are possible. But don't pray the wrong prayer. Don't pray the wrong prayer. And that's why you must labor in the word of God. You must labor for personal. Now, you read the scripture. You may make nothing of it. But the day a problem comes, the Holy Spirit, so the Bible says that the Spirit was brooded over the face of the earth, the Holy Spirit will go into your spirit, take that piece of scripture, bring out the examples, do all the linkages for you, right? And you will see your solution in that linkage. That, my friend, is prayers. That's what we do. That's what we do. That's what we have done for years. That's what we still do as a church. Till now, that is what is responsible for the church you are in today. Everything you have seen today. Somebody came up to me some time ago and we were chatting, and he said that. So he said he saw the church and he said, "What denomination?" I said, "None. Jesus' denomination." That is Jesus' denomination. So what is the secret? That's how I pray. I don't label my prayers by my needs. So what does that mean, Pastor? I am hungry. Oh God, feed me. That angels don't understand that kind of prayer. Oh God, help me. Oh God, pray. Oh God, give me a job. Why? 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 Why should God give you a job? Where did you see it that God gives jobs? Who did God give a job to in the Bible that you saw? Who did God help in the Bible? Who did God provide for financially? Who? God bless my business. Who did you see in the Bible that God bless his business? Who? What is your reference point? What did you search out? Do you know what I'm saying? So I tell people, I say, I have never run a business at a loss. They say, one pastor said many years ago, said this guy must be lying. I said, well, if that's your level, that is fine. Because I saw it in Isaac. See, and the Bible says, and Isaac what? Sold in the land. He said, in that same year. Someone said, why can you have a full-time job and be doing ministry full-time? How do you do it? Because I saw it in Isaac. I saw divine ability in Isaac. They took his wealth from him. He did not argue. He had enough power and energy and strength to go out and dig another well. So I said, Lord, empower me with capability as you empowered Isaac. Does that make sense? So my prayer is not just, oh, God, they give me. Oh, why? 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 You can't start rewriting the Bible. You can't. You can't start rewriting the Bible. And listen, and when you stay on the track of religion for a very long time, it makes it look as if this doesn't work. The fact that you don't know how to work it does not mean it doesn't work. The fact, you see, every one of the things we love watching at home, we love watching Simon Cowell, X Factor. Someone will come and they will sing. And then Simon, the professional, will say, that's so karaoke. And I was like, we'll say karaoke. And is it not the song? So one day they asked him, so why did you say that? And he said something I will never forget. He said, when you sing in pubs, he said, you pick up bad habits. He said, instead of learning to do it professionally and properly, you pick up bad habits. And so many of us have picked up so many bad habits, especially in our prayer life. You do that long enough, right? It then looks as if your prayers are not being answered. It then looks as if it's not working, whereas you don't know how to work it. If you don't know how to work it, right, staying on that same track, does it change it? So you change it tonight. And I'm sure if you apply this rule to every prayer you've ever prayed, you probably find that maybe only 1 out of 100 got to heaven. So there's a technique to it. And like every other school of, every other house of faith, including the disciples of Jesus and of John, it said, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. We want this kind of result. So that means that skills are required. Skills are required. You don't have the skill, don't have the skill. You can't pretend to have the skill. So because you can say amen in Jesus' name does not mean that you have prayed an effective prayer. Anyone can say amen in Jesus' name. Anyone. So in summary, The Holy Spirit gives you access. Everything God said, God saw it. And so if you ask for what God says, you will see what God sees. The power is in what God says. Tell me that there's enough power in what he says. And let there be, and there was. Let there be, and there was. Let there be, and there was. Everything God said, God saw it. And so if you ask for what God says, that's what they told him, he said, don't pray amiss. He said, you ask, but you don't receive. You don't receive because you pray amiss. That is, your prayers is not in alignment. Your prayer is not in alignment. It doesn't mean, so your approach is out of sync and out of alignment. So you will never get them, you will never maximize the benefit of that scripture. Your prayers should be based on your personal revelation of scriptures concerning that matter. Write that down. My prayers must be based on my personal revelation of scriptures on this subject matter. My prayers must be based on my personal revelation of scriptures concerning this matter. Okay? So give me enterprise, about your career, right? So what is your personal revelation of scriptures? Who did you see in scriptures? Who is like you? What did they do? And how did God respond to them? That's your personal revelation. And that's what you pray. That is what you pray. That is what God honors. That's what God sees. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's your personal revelation. So along when your personal revelation is watertight and is in alignment, faith comes automatically. Faith comes. Faith, that means that you see it. You see it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will reveal more to you from that scripture. Faith comes automatically. So most of the time you find that you say, I have prayed, but every time I say I'm still afraid. No, because you saw nothing. You saw nothing. There was no revelation behind it. You saw nothing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we there this morning? Are we there this morning? He said, I will close with this. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. So I said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. So the gospel of Jesus carries power in itself. Praise the Lord. God, Bible says in Hebrews that God holds all things by the word of his power. So the power is in his word. If God says it, you will see it. But what you see, your personal revelation of what God says is very important. What does God say about this issue? What am I praying for? What's my personal revelation about this? What happened in scripture? Why am I praying this prayer and why should God answer it? God should answer it because I read it in Genesis like this. I saw it in Joshua like this. I saw it in Nahum like this. And I saw it in Daniel like this. So God, I'm the next. So my prayer is not based on my needs. And many of us, our prayers are needs driven. Needs driven prayer is just, it's just an exertion of emotions. Need-driven prayers is just an exertion of how many times have you been? Are you praying for something? You get on your knees and then you start crying. How many of you have been there before? You get on your knees and you start crying. Well, so why are you crying? So who stays in front of a prayer answering God and start crying? No, you are overwhelmed. And then you are praying, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. And you call it intercession. So speaking in tongues is not enough now. That's your Jordan experience. After Jordan, he could have said, well, I'm going to my ministry. No. 40 days, he went. And after that, he was still transfigured. He had new experiences on that spiritual journey every day. And so his ministry, his works, was powerful. And that's the kind of order you want. Amen. But you must do it like Jesus. Rise to your feet and let us pray.